This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris again. We are back on air with Dr. Robin Zazio. She is a licensed clinical psychologist and licensed clinical social worker, and we are back talking about hoarding. And last week was great. We talked about sort of maybe what's going on in the background when somebody's facing a hoarding issue. So as we as real estate investors can sort of identify maybe what's going on in the background, and you gave us some great tips. But what is exactly, can you put a name to the disorder that is hoarders? Some people think it's OCD. Like, is there a name we should be giving it?
Absolutely. So with increased knowledge about anxiety disorders, one of the things that's happened is they've actually created a category that's called obsessive compulsive disorders. And underneath that category, you have individualized conditions that includes hoarding disorders and a few other ones. But OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, by its very nature, is very different than hoarding disorder. OCD is when someone has very intrusive thoughts that are unwanted. Let's say they're chopping carrots and all of a sudden they go, what if all of a sudden I stab myself in the neck? And they'll throw down the knife going, ah, I don't want, I'm not suicidal. I don't want to do that. But if I'm having this thought, does that mean I might actually do it? Right? So it's these very strange thoughts that a person develops, and so they engage in lots of avoidance behaviors because they don't want to be triggered. Hoarding disorder has principles of obsessive thoughts, meaning, oh my gosh, you know, I want to go out on Saturday and see what kind of little treasures I can get, you know, garage sailing, or going to the dollar store and seeing, you know, what they can get for that 98 cents or whatever. Like, they get what I call that thrill of the kill, like the thrill of the deal, okay? And so there's an obsessiveness about finding those items, or when they see an item, to get it. Or they have these thoughts, these obsessions about holding on to things because they fear that if they let go of it, that in some way they're going to lose the memory. The compulsive part is the actual acquisition of the items, the holding on to the items. So it looks really different, but there's those same overall obsessive compulsive properties, if you will.
Okay. Well, I think it's fair to say by the time a real estate investor is called, there's probably one of two things happening. Well, I guess one of three. A child has inherited a house after a hoarder parent has passed away. Health department or whatever department has come in because neighbors have complained and there's a health violation or something, so they're being forced. Or just for financial reasons. So it's a quick sale. So we typically come in and we're dealing directly with people. I guess we'll cover this real quick. At what point would you say that there's a risk involved from a real estate standpoint? You never want to go in a transaction where somebody is not, I guess, willing, able to sign paperwork, and it could end up biting you in the butt later. But we're not trained. We might not know. In your mind, is there anything that we should be watching for to be like, you know what, you're not healthy to be doing any kind of transaction right now. We need to take a break and actually get somebody involved.
Absolutely. I think the first thing that I would say, and we kind of covered this the last time, is, you know, when I look around my house, it's pretty neat, organized, and everything that's here is something that I value. I mean, if it went up in flames, I would survive, right? Mm-hmm. But if someone looked around my house and said, you've got to get rid of 75% of your stuff, that would be really tough because everything here is here for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody with hoarding disorder who can't let go of their stuff, you're asking them to do the very same thing, right? So from the person from the outside, you're looking around going, okay, this is trash. These things are broken. Like, why can't they give that up? Well, there's a chemical imbalance that prevents them from doing that. There's psychological issues that prevent them from doing it. So what happens is when people are suddenly forced you know, you don't own this home anymore, you've got to leave, and suddenly they're being told that they have to get rid of all their stuff, the risk that you can involve is depression and possible suicidality, okay? But also even sometimes psychosis, where they can be pushed to such an extreme brink, such a level of psychological overwhelm that they could even, you know, have, you know, kind of what can be termed as a nervous breakdown. So I think it's really important that, as with any one of us, you know, when we are looking at purchasing a property, that we've got wind that there's somebody who's living there and has excessive acquisition, to get a sense of where that person is. You know, it might be quite possible that the person says, you know what, I'm glad someone's taking this home, and I'm glad that they're just going to take everything out of the home, because, you know, I can't do it, and I do see that there really isn't much value, and I want to be done with it. You know, that could certainly be the case. But I think also there should probably be some type of investment in understanding that person and where they've been. You know, are there substance abuse problems that need to be factored in, so that when the new homeowner is having to deal with them, whether or not there could be any kind of you know, potential danger in terms of aggression or that kind of thing. So understanding psychologically the history of that person, I think, to the best of the degree that they can, is really important.
When we're dealing directly with family members, where family members are, maybe there's a death, but maybe there's still the hoarder actually in the home, and the family is really saying, we have a health issue, we're going to downsize, we're just going to take them out of the situation. Locally, is there a specialist that we can refer them? Because sometimes we're not dealing directly with the people, and we want to be helpful, but maybe help them process and not be the high recidivism rate. Maybe we can help in some way them not go that direction. Who's the local person we would give them? We had talked about naming it, but is it social worker? Is it a psychologist with a specific area of specialty?
The thing to remember when we're dealing with, we'll talk about general therapists or counseling, it really isn't about their licensure as it is about their training. There are lots of people who are not psychologists, who have degrees such as myself below my doctorate of LCSWs, licensed clinical social workers, or licensed marriage and family therapists, who have the training that can do the exact same work that someone at a doctoral level can do, because they've had good training, okay? So that's the most important thing, really, that I look at is, you know, where have they been trained and what level? There is an organization called the International Obsessive Compulsive Foundation. Their website is www.iocdflikefrank.org. They have a provider database, and it's probably the most comprehensive and specialized database for people that specialize in anxiety disorders and hoarding disorder. And the reality is most people who are specialists get into that provider database because we're all extremely passionate about making sure that people are getting the proper care, and that they're not going to a cleanup process as they're going through the psychological process of being able to deal with what has led to the problem. You can also just Google hoarding disorder task forces. There are a number of them across the country. I'm covering Sacramento. But the task forces can be helpful because typically they're formed by people who are volunteers who help individuals struggling that may not have resources. So you could Google that as well. And then finally, Dorothy Brenninger, who is part of the Hoarders team. We've worked many, many times together. She's also a contributor to my book. She is an organizer, and while organizers, you know, are very clear that they are not mental health professionals, but oftentimes they can have a lot of experience in working with people that are struggling with excessive acquisition. And she would be a great point of contact too, at least to help direct, because, you know, I know the LA area is so ginormous and we're talking, you know, the difference between, you know, maybe Orange County versus someone who actually lives in LA, like, you know, those two aren't necessarily user friendly.
Right. I guess let's talk a little bit about how awesomely patient you are and some strategies, because I got some feedback. I posted on Facebook. I'd really like some questions because so many of us deal with this exact scenario. And a lot of people wanted some tips on, I've had some real estate investors say they play good cop, bad cop, and they specifically bring people into the transaction to try to have somebody firm dealing with the person, trying to get them through the process, and then the good cop trying to make sure that they're taken care of. I know some people in this industry, because we've talked about the change in dealing with banks and REOs and short sales to now dealing with people, that skill set isn't always established. We're not all people persons. So
yeah,
when you're dealing with somebody in this, I was always amazed watching the video. I mean, you really do stay calm. You're the professional. We've sort of talked about the background, what might be going on. How do we keep them calm or bring them back into the fray when there's a little bit of a meltdown?
Yeah. So the way I work with people is even though I don't struggle with hoarding, right, I get that chemically their brain is not processing things like we are, right?
Right.
And so coming from there, I don't go to this place of logic, like, this doesn't make sense. Do you realize you're in danger? Do you realize you're putting the community in danger? Telling them things like that isn't always the most helpful thing, because they feel they're being shamed, right? And they're going to get defensive. So coming from the mental health standpoint, I understand it's difficult. I understand they can't make decisions. And so I really validate, I know this is difficult for you. I understand that this is your stuff and you don't want to be told that you need to get rid of your stuff. You're an adult. Like, nothing is worse than another adult telling you what you have to do. This is the dilemma, though. Your house is being sold, or your house has been sold. And at the end of the day, you know, we know that you're going to have to leave, right? Would you agree with that? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're on that same page. And while none of us necessarily agree that you need to be pushed into a corner to get rid of your stuff, it just is. And we can't change that fact. How can we make this process, a really difficult process, as easy as we possibly can, knowing there's nothing easy about it, right? Mm-hmm. But how can we try to do something really difficult in the most streamlined way? You know, I'm here for you. I'll help you along the way. You've got to let me know, you know, what it is I can do to help you. But at the end of the day, this is where we're at.
Okay.
You know? And so in essence, Aaron, you're still kind of doing the good cop, bad cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling them, this is where you're at. You've got to get rid of your stuff, but you're doing it in a way that hopefully is going to be more user friendly for them, and letting them know, this is where we're at. So how can we work together to make something really tough be a little bit easier, you know? Who can we involve? Who do you know? Are you involved in a church? Do you have family members who have been supportive? Do you have friends? Who can we involve? Have you been seeing a therapist? Do you have a psychiatrist? You know, what are your resources whereby we can pull everybody that you feel safest with to help you through this process, you know, because it is going to be very difficult. And Aaron, you know, and I really am very much about using analogies and even saying, you know, I don't struggle with hoarding, but I do understand that if somebody told me I had to get rid of 75% of my stuff, that would be really hard. Like, I wouldn't even know where to start. So, you know, on that level, I get that this is really hard for you, you know? So really trying to say, look, I'm not going to pretend that I know how you feel, but I get that if I was in a similar situation, it would be really tough.
It's really talking about moments of empathy instead of sympathy. I was actually watching a really great video on that last night, and it's funny, the person who was empathetic sort of came down to the person, the level who was crying, and just was sat there in the moment and sort of understood and felt, I'm not going through what you're going through, but I feel where you're going through, and I understand where another animal, yeah. I think they used an animal in the cartoon. The animal's like, ooh, that looks dark. Want a sandwich? It's just...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So, and I think that when you're in that place where you're like, you know, you're not really meeting them in that place where they feel, I mean, validation is so big. Validating their pain, validating their struggle, validating how difficult it is. Because so many people at the point that you guys are coming in, they haven't been validated. They've been blamed. They've been shamed. They've been pointed the finger at. And so they don't trust people anymore because they're expecting that you're going to do the same thing. Mm. And so when they feel that someone is actually genuinely getting to their level and understanding, you know, again, understanding, I can't feel what you feel, but I get what you're telling me. I get how difficult this is, and I want to help you through this. Then I think it can make a difference. And not always. I mean, I've had plenty of people who have nothing short of hated me. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, and those are those people that have been forced into a situation. And, you know, and haven't had that desire to change, you know, and then I've had people that have been forced into the situation, and through that process of some of the things that you and I are talking about, they've been able to come around and see that there's actually going to be a better life for them than the way that they've been living. And I think that that's the key. I mean, everything about the mental health community in terms of trying to help people is, you know, what has been taken from your life as a result of your illness, and what can we do to try to restore that?
That's an interesting strategy. I guess I would have definitely approached that wrong. I guess I would have definitely leaned into the fear factor of, we're on a limited time, this has to go away, and really focus more on the transactional, and we're really focused on the human side. But I like what you just said about talking, getting them to buy into the future of what it would look like once you're past the process. Is that pretty effective?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I want you to imagine, Aaron, that, you know, you have to be somewhere and you've got a coworker sitting next to you and you're like, hey, John, come on, we got to go. John, come on, John, you know, we got to go. Stop what you're, you know, and you're just pressuring them. They're going to get more and more anxious. Right. But if you say, hey, John, you know, I just looked at the time. We really got to go. I'm going to go ahead and start heading towards the car. And, you know, if you can try to meet me down there in, you know, no more than 3 minutes, that would really be great, right? But the more you pressure someone, the more anxious they tend to get. Hmm. So it really is coming at a level of calmness. You know, if you have somebody who's high-intensity anxiety or upset or anger, and you start pressuring them, it's like TNT. It's just, you know, trying to you know, fix dynamite with dynamite versus, you know, staying calm. Because if you stay calm, you're actually going to bring them down just by that kind of demeanor.
I think I liked when you were talking about the thrill of the deal. I think my mom, she's so funny. She used to say, you know, the more you buy, the more you save. You know, everybody likes a good sale, whether you need it or not. Does it help? And I think there's a real, you really have to be sincere for it to work. But is it a good idea to sort of talk to them if they feel like they're a collector, to sort of talk about why they love it so much and seem like you actually genuinely care? And maybe sort of get to what they're really wanting to keep. Any strategies around that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. And going back to the first segment is, does this item have a home? Right?
Okay.
You know, let's say we're looking at a picture and it's sitting on the floor and there's no wall space. We have to do one of two things. We need to let go of this, or we need to switch out another picture for this one. right? Because pictures don't typically sit on the floor. They can sit on a stand. But, you know, the first thing is does it have, does this item have a home? So, quick story, I'm pretty well known for my excessive amounts of shoes. Okay. And I
okay.
have this wall, this shoe explosion thing going up the wall. And I have gotten to a place where it's full. So when I'm out and I see something, okay, what I have to do is say, do I foresee that there is a pair that I can throw out to make room for this? And if I can't, I don't buy it. It's just a rule. It's got to have a home because I don't want to be walking into my closet on a floor of shoes.
Right.
So that's a really important strategy. And it's hard because when we have sort of that thrill of, oh my gosh, you know, this was $49.99. It's now $9.99. It feels like a really good deal. The piece number two that I tell people is, if you're not going to be able to access it, if it's going to be thrown in a bunch of other stuff that's going to be covered up by other stuff, it actually isn't a good deal because even though you're looking, you're stuck on it 75% off, you've now paid $9.99 plus tax for something that you can't even access, you see. And so we frequently see in these situations where there's piles of duplicates because they have seen it as a good deal.
Right.
But they don't see it as a bad deal, even though it's 75% off, because they're not considering that they actually won't use it. I've got, you know, 16 corkscrews as well. And even though this is marked down in the 99-cent pile from $10, I'm not even using the other 16, so I'm going to walk away from it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, a big part is individuals recognizing this process as sort of cognitive distortions. Cognitive meaning thinking distortions or thinking errors, that they do things like catastrophizing. If I don't buy this right now, I'm never going to get this deal again. Okay. If you know, this is this is such a unique piece, I'll never find it again and I'll always regret it. So they get caught up in all these negative thinking patterns and they don't challenge them to even see if it's actually accurate, you know. My aunt, you know, God rest her soul, would kill me. She'd be so upset if I let this go.
Right.
Right. So she's in heaven. How is it that she would be upset? <You know? laughs> But they don't think about those things. They just go by, oh my gosh, she would be so upset if she knew I let this go. Well, she won't ever know. And then what we come back it with is reframing these negative thinking patterns to, I'm betting, if we look at this differently, if your aunt knew how you were, you know, the struggles in which you were living with all this stuff, maybe she would actually encourage you and say, yes, as much as I really liked that jacket or that sculpture, I would rather have you live in a safe, comfortable environment, you see. But they don't go to that place because there's so much anxiety and fear over, you know, these things that they tell themselves that they tend to give into them. So really challenging their negative thinking is really important. And then, you know, family component, Erin, is so important. You know, getting the family to a place where they have to stop badgering them. They have to stop pointing the finger, that they have to get to a place of compassion, because that person, that family member, is actually really suffering.
Yeah. I that's always very apparent in the show. And it's fun to watch. It's a lot of different lessons all packed into a show. And well, we're out of time, and apparently I'm going to have to get this book and read it, because it sounds like it's got a lot of helpful tidbits for us, especially since we're likely going to be dealing with this a lot more in the next decade, really, this specific kind of deal dealing with people. But one more time, if they would like to find out more about your work, where should we be going?
Yeah, my website is anxietytreatmentexperts.com. We have 3 offices in Northern California, Sacramento, Roseville, and El Dorado Hills. And of course, the book is The Hoarder in You, How to Live a Happier, Healthier, Uncluttered Life. That's for anybody on the continuum who might be struggling with stuff. And they can get that at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Aaron.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.